often. So we'll hold judgment until the end. But morning, everyone. If you're new here or if you're visiting, I hope that you're very welcome. Sorry, I'm just messing with my music stand. Pastor John has asked me to speak on anything, which is always very risky. He always seems to be away on holiday every time he asks me to speak on anything. So I guess, what is going on here? There we go. Thank you. It's that, or he doesn't want to listen to me. So, this morning I knew that I wanted to speak on something with a practical application. If you were here last time I preached, everyone got soup. Can you remember the soup sermon? Yeah, there's no soup today. I'm really sorry. Oh, I know. But I didn't want you to leave empty-handed. So the keen-eyed among you will have noticed that I put some little piles around. We will get to those later. You might be pondering where I'm going with this, but no spoiler alerts yet. So for a little context and backstory, many of you may not know that I haven't always been a Christian. I didn't always believe that God spoke to me or could even use me. And in fact, I became a Christian at school after I noticed this guy in the music department who, the story goes, really didn't notice me at all, which is a bit awkward. despite me trying to get him to teach me piano, I was grade 7, he didn't know that. But I was like, oh, you're amazing, could you teach me to play piano? You know, one of those, you know, the classic. He still was having none of it. But I walked into Mass one day, we went to a Catholic school, I played the flute, I had nowhere to sit, we ended up sharing a piano stall, the rest is history, you know, that's the way it goes. There were a few long months where he refused to go out with me because I wasn't a Christian. And all this to say, Ben, who is over there now watching my two children, which is just crazy, now my husband wanted me to have my own relationship with God before I had a relationship with him. And it might sound cliche, but it's the most meaningful gift that Ben has ever given me, and one of eternal value. So when I became a Christian in my teens, I was trying to wrap my head around what it meant to be a Christian, understand all these like weird Christian phrases that you get in church. The main one that got me stumped was the phrase, I heard from God. And I'm like, what did he sound like? Like, what did he say? Was he a physical person in the room and he like actually spoke to you? Did you hear a big booming voice from above? Was it like I kind of felt it in my bones type heard from God? I was like very confused about this whole thing. My personal favorite was when someone would come up to me and tell me that they had a word from God for me. Now you might be like, ooh, really, really super interested. I would love to know what God has to say. But I can just remember thinking, well, if it was so important, why didn't God tell me? Like, I'm here. I got two ears. Why didn't you tell me, God? And I realized that it turns out that hearing from God is not a skill that came naturally to me. It might not be one that comes naturally to you. It was a very alien concept and one that for, I would say, at least a decade, I thought didn't apply to me. It's a skill, just like any other skill, that requires some practice. It's something that I seek to practice a lot now. And hopefully one day I'll teach my children to do it for themselves. And today I thought I would share a little bit with you. So we're going to practice hearing from God, see why in Scripture we should hear from God, and we're going to have a little go at something. So if you're starting to fidget and get uncomfortable and panic, don't worry. I'm not going to ask you to share whatever God's going to say to you. It's a totally you thing. No one's coming up here and sharing, so don't panic. So I by no means profess to be an expert at this. This is just one of the ways that I have learned in my life to do it. There are lots of ways. This is not the handbook. But hopefully it will encourage you to have a go at stepping into this practice of discerning the voice of God in your everyday life. So today I wanted to focus on three scriptures with the title of Listen, Listen. To hopefully show you how to hear from God through the Bible and then a practical way of applying this using the materials. So are we ready? Yeah, everyone breathe. I'm like, We'll see how this goes. But so hearing from God is classed as a spiritual gift and one which can manifest and grow in our lives the more that we use it. One way that we can do this is through seeking God's presence, like Samuel does in the book of 1 Samuel 3. Does that ring any bells for anybody? So Samuel was the son of Hannah. She was a barren woman in the Old Testament who prayed for a child and was given a son. And she then decided that if she was given a son, that she would give that son back to God. So she took her son after he was weaned and gave the son over to the priest in the temple. The problem was that the priest in the temple was really corrupt and he already had a bunch of sons and all of them were corrupt. So you're giving your like precious little baby. I can just imagine walking James up and just handing him over to a total stranger who is just into all sorts of bad stuff. I'm just like, I can't even imagine. Anyway, so he's going to raise him up in the temple so that he will also ultimately become a priest. And then we find this little boy in 1 Samuel 3, probably about the girl's age, so like 4, 5, 6. We find this little boy, he's just about to go to sleep, and we get the classic bedtime routine beginning. So I can't imagine that Eli putting his sons and Samuel to bed was anything like mine. He probably just said, go to bed, and they went to bed. But in my house, it's a little bit like playing whack-a-mole. So they're up out of bed every like 2 minutes. We're like, I heard a noise, I need a drink, I miss you, can I have a cuddle, I need a wee, mommy. Yeah, you see, it's already started. I'm too hot, the list goes on. So Eli is awake late into the night. His job is he's supposed to be keeping watch to make sure that the lamp of God doesn't go out. You know, one of those classic Jewish lamps with the 7 candles. Represents God's presence, and it burns through the night in the temple. And at the dawn, it goes out, and it's the priest's job to make sure that it stays alight throughout the night. So Eli is supposed to be keeping watch over the lamp, making sure it doesn't go out. But in fact, he is lying down in his own room, and he's so exhausted that his eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see. And in runs Samuel with, here I am, you called me. It's like, oh, I can just imagine, you know, he's like there. I've had it so many times when you lay in bed and you're like, please go away. Please go away. Just go back to sleep. Take yourself back to sleep, please. The first contrast here, if we can click the first contrast here, is that we find Eli should be near the ark. So on the map. Here we go. So we've got the Holy of Holies. That's the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know how close I can get to this without it going crazy. But so this is the Ark of the Covenant. Eli should be in here. You've got the menorah, which is the lamp with 7 candles, represents God's presence burning. Eli is in fact outside the entrance, across the courtyard, and in the sleeping accommodation. So Eli's all the way over here. And we find that Samuel is, in fact, asleep inside the holy place right next to the lamp. So he's, like, in effect, like Sophia does, pulled all of her bedding out of bed, climbed across the room, and he's gone across the courtyard, out of where he sleeps, all the way across the courtyard, through the outer courtyard, into the holy place, and he's sat underneath the lamp. That's where Eli's supposed to be. But that's where we find Samuel, this little, like, 4, 5, 6-year-old boy. So my question is this morning, where are our hearts positioned when it comes to being next to the Word of God? We believe as Christians that the Bible is God-breathed, which means that it's spoken from God to help us walk through life to become more like the living Word, which is Jesus Christ, through the interpretation of the voice of God, the Holy Spirit. And yet many of us, myself included, have positioned ourselves away from our Bibles, intentionally, unintentionally. But we're not, I would imagine if you really thought about it this morning, how many of us could honestly say that we are like Samuel, sat underneath the candle? I know I'm not. We maybe have focused more on Bible studies, We've focused on podcasts, worship music, sermons from church, preachers that we watch online. All of that is very, very good and very, very worthy in our Christian lives. But how often do we just sit with the word and with the presence of God and see what he wants to say, not what he wants to say through somebody else to us? But to truly hear from God, we need to position ourselves as close to the source as possible. And that means spending time in the word of God. So secondly, after realizing that it is God who is calling Samuel, there's this whole interchange where he three times runs in and goes, I'm here, you called me. And he sends him away, I'm here, you called me. And he sends him away. It goes on through the night. After realizing, Eli says, no, actually, this must be God who's speaking to this little boy, which is quite a step, really, for the prophet, the priest of Israel, to be like, he's not speaking to me, he's speaking to a four, five, six-year-old. He sends him back. He tells him to go and lie down. And if God speaks to him again, to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And this brings me to my second verse, which is the main part of my sermon, which is to incline your ear. Now, if you would allow me the liberty of geeking out for a second, this is how I tend to do a lot of my Bible studies. But in the Hebrew, which is the original language in which we find this phrase several times in the Old Testament, we have the Hebrew phrase, and I'm going to say it wrong, but nata, which means to incline. So nata literally means to stretch out, to bend, or to extend. It describes a person actively stretching, listening, or leaning forward to capture every bit of what a person is saying. Often, you know, if you sit next to someone in a crowded room and you're like leaning, or you'll come and sit next to somebody so that you can really hear them, or they'll whisper into your ear. In Jewish context, the word was also used for a tightening or an adjusting. We see in, I think it's Isaiah 56, the extend out your tent pegs, stretch them out far and wide. It's the same nata. It's used in the Bible for pitching a tent, spreading out. It implies creating a dedicated space free from outside distractions. It was also used in ancient Jewish contexts for tightening or adjusting the strings of a musical instrument or a bow. So imagine I've got like a guitar or a violin and I'm tuning it. And as I'm tuning it, I'm listening and I've got my ear right close to it and I'm making those tiny micro adjustments so that the pitch of it is just perfect. Not out, just perfect. Because if it isn't, the whole band is out. Everything doesn't sound right. The beauty of this Hebrew phrase is that it works two ways in Scripture. It can be when man inclines towards God, but it can also be when God inclines towards man. So when man inclines towards God, it's an act of submission and of intense focus. It means stretching your mind towards God's word. It means shutting out that worldly noise and lingering there. But when God inclines to man, it's an act of pure grace, of humility. It creates this image of the almighty sovereign God bending down to down low to place his ear right next to the mouth of a person that he wants to speak to. And here, the way that we see Samuel respond in 1 Samuel 3 is the very practical application. We don't see the word nata, but it's literally the practical kind of walkthrough of what nata is. And one that we're going to have a go at in a few minutes. But when Samuel finally replies, speak, for your servant is listening, he's engaging in the exact same spiritual mechanism of nata. He's tuning his ear, he's stretching his awareness, he's tightening his focus exclusively to God's frequency. And he becomes that fine-tuned instrument through whom God begins to speak to Israel again. It actually says in 1:3 Samuel that he was too young and didn't yet know the voice of God. So this is literally the infancy, the very first time that God speaks to him. And he'll go all the way through. He transfers to kings. And he's the one that anoints King Saul and then anoints King David. And then we go through scripture into the passage from priests to kings. But that's the beginning of that fine-tuning of his instrument, of his craft that he'll use the whole way through the books of Samuel and the books of Kings. We also see in Samuel 3 the second meaning of nata, to stretch out or to bend down low. In verse 10, we see a remarkable shift in how God communicates. It says, the Lord came and stood there. Literally, his manifest presence came into the room and called out as other times. We see that God doesn't thunder. It's not like in Moses where he's on the mountain and there's this, you know, big crash of thunder. It's not a big burning bush like we see with Moses. There's not a huge earthquake or anything like that. He descends into a quiet tabernacle in the middle of the night, walks to the bedside of a young boy, bends down low, meets him at his level. And it's a stunning display of the divine humility that the sovereign creator would incline his presence towards a child. The contrast between the almighty presence of God manifesting himself before Samuel, who's lay down in bed, shows us just how low God is prepared to bend to meet us in our humanity and to speak to us as if he was a child. And he is always doing that. But I would argue that we're not necessarily always listening. And I'm not always listening. My final Bible verse is from John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. It's spoken by John the Baptist. John the Baptist was Jesus's cousin. We see in scripture that when Mary met Elizabeth, they were both pregnant. And John the Baptist in the womb leapt for joy. Elizabeth knew that she was pregnant because she felt John leap for joy. And we're now at the end of his ministry when Jesus is baptized and he kind of passes on the mantle. And we get this joy resurface again. This joy of mine is now complete. That's a whole separate sermon that I was almost going to go into. But it says, the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him, rejoicing greatly at the bridegroom's voice. To hear from God, we must accept that first we must decrease. Our own thoughts, agendas, anxieties, our physical circumstances, they must pale into insignificance when stacked up against the voice of Christ. So how are we going to try and practice nata this morning? Well, around you, and you're welcome to get up and move and grab one if you want, but around you, you should be able to find some pages from the Bible that I've got from the book of Romans. So John will be starting his sermon series on Romans in September. And I thought that this activity would not just give us some practice of hearing from God today, but if we keep them and look back on them during John's series between September and Christmas, I believe that the words that God's going to give us today will continue to grow. They'll serve as either an encouragement that he does in fact speak, or maybe a signpost of something that's to come. I have no idea what's going to go down for the rest of this morning, so we'll just see. It's all in God's hands. So if you want to come grab one, you're welcome to move. I know I'm talking, but please don't sit on ceremony. Just come and grab one. So everyone in the room should have a different page from the book of Romans. So there's some here. If you are having a slight heart attack that these are real pages from real Bibles, they are real pages from real Bibles. However, I used to work in a Catholic school before I stayed at home with my children, and I got these out the skip. So these were going in the bin. So I know I have ripped a page out of them, and I know I am asking you to write on them, and I know that that will make some people very uncomfortable. However, I think that this is a better use of the Word of God than them going in a skip. Also, they have been doodled all over by teenagers. So I think this is a much better use for the Word of God. Anyway, I'm not going to make you do it, so if you don't want to, please don't feel like you have to, but you might want a plain piece of paper to just do, you know, your own writing on or whatever. There is some there, and there's some pencils and stuff. Okay, so everyone should have a different one. I have no idea who's going to have what. This isn't some like weird card trick where I wrote a 5 on some of them and I asked you to spin them around and show me what number. Like, it's not that. Yeah, there's nothing weird going on here, but I am hoping and praying that God is going to speak to us individually and everyone's should be different. So we're going to practice applying these three key points. Position, nata, and submission. He must increase, I must decrease. By having a go at something called blackout poetry. Has anyone ever tried any before? No, we're all in this together. Great. So blackout poetry is this idea or concept. I've done this with lots of people. I run workshops on this sort of thing. But blackout poetry is where you take a page from an actual book with some text. You read that text. And then, depending on how creative you are, you could write a sentence, a phrase. We're in Stratford. You could go full on sonnet if you want to. Mary's not here. But if she were, we would have a full on ode to wherever. But the idea is that you can't just like highlight a verse and like call it good. You have to come up with something that... You have to decide what God's saying, and then you can only find those words on that page. Okay? So you might have like, I don't know, you might have the word brick. I don't know. The chance of finding the word brick on your page is very small. So you might want to go, okay, I can't find brick, but can I find block? No. Can I find boulder? Can I find rock? You know, so you might need to get a little bit creative with this, but you get the idea. So all you're going to do, usually I've done this over like 2 hours and we get super creative and draw pictures and, you know, all colour and everything. But all I want you to do this morning is focus on hearing from God and then just selecting what those words are. Okay, you can knock yourself out at home and, you know, get creative if you want to, but... So we're going to circle the words in the statement or phrase or prayer or whatever it's going to be. And then up to you, but you, the idea is that you black out all the other text. So you can literally just scribble out all the other text, like a redacted letter, yeah? Or you can get creative with it. You can add some colours. The kids have monopolised the paints, but, you know... You're welcome. Go and get some paints if you want. Or you can kind of like hatch it out. You could do dots. You could scribble. You could turn it into a picture. Whatever. I'm not focused on the art this morning. I'm focused on what it is that God's going to say. So I know it's scary. I know that some of you, this is probably way out of your comfort zone. It is mine, but we only learn if we step outside of ourselves and grow. So if it doesn't work... There's still coffee. I made some flapjack. So if it doesn't work, we'll just spend the next 6 minutes in God's presence drinking coffee and flapjack, and we just won't tell John that the idea didn't work. Yeah? That's fine. So I'm just going to give you a minute. I'm going to stop talking and give you a minute to read your page. I think all of them are double-sided. If you haven't got one and you want one, there's still some at the front here. So choose your side. It's like the Matrix, red or blue, red or blue. So yeah, choose your side. I'll give you a minute or so to just read it. And then I'm going to pray and put some worship music on and give us some time to have a go at it, okay? We're going to start by praying. We're going to position our hearts before God as someone who has intentionally got out of bed this morning to come into the house of God, just like Samuel did. He got out of his bed. He came into the tabernacle and he sat before God because he wanted to be close to him and he wanted to hear. Then I would encourage you to pray the same words that Samuel prayed. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then I want you to try and incline your ear, that nata. Quiet everything else out and just listen and sense what it is that God wants to say to you. It could be totally random. It could be, if all you write down on that page is Jesus loves me, like, and you live that out between September and December, I mean, how wonderful would that be? Yeah, but I feel like God wants to say something specific. It could be for you, it could be for someone else. But once we've got that phrase, that's what we're going to try and apply. Okay, so I'll give you a minute to read. Okay. Father, we come before you this morning as servants wanting to hear your voice. We're positioning ourselves before your word and asking, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. We incline our ear, we stretch out towards you, and we ask, Lord, that you would bend down, whisper in our ear what it is that you want to say to us this morning. Holy Spirit, come. Amen. So the song is only 6 minutes long. We're going to sit here in God's presence for 6 minutes. At the end of it, I'll turn it off, I'll close in prayer, and I'll hand back over to the worship team. And this can be whatever you want it to be. You don't have to do this activity if you don't want to. Just spend time with God. Okay.
Caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. Caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your prayer. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Just you, Jesus. Just you, Jesus. Nothing else. No one else. Just you, Jesus. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply go, longing just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Oh, it's all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we could spend this time this morning resting in your presence. My heart's prayer, Lord, is that we go out this week with a little encouragement to try and seek your voice in that everyday walk that we try to live, Father. Would you send your spirit and tune our hearts to your voice as we walk? Amen. I hope you found this morning insightful or different, or you know. I hope that it's blessed you in some way. I don't want the pages of the Bible to get crumpled or tossed in people's bags or left in their cars or anything like that. You know, this is the holy, reverent Word of God. So I would hate for it to get lost or screwed up or thrown away. So there are some picture frames here. Not because I think that what you've created is the most glorious piece of artwork that you want to stick on your wall. However, it is the inspired word of God. And if you put it in a picture frame, it will stop it getting crumpled. And you can keep it, hopefully, between September and December, and God will continue to speak through it. If you want to take it home and finish it, by all means, please do. If you don't want to finish it or don't want anything to do with it, I encourage you, please still put it in a frame and keep it somewhere safe. Or place it inside your Bible or something. But We're going to close up our service. I pray that you've had a lovely time just resting in his presence this morning. Thank you for being here, and we would love to see you next week. Who's talking next week, Phil? No idea. Surprise. Somebody else like me. So you may want to come, you may not want to. It's okay. But yeah, John is off for one more week, and then he will be back over the summer. So yeah, God bless.